Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, we bring you a story of a young couple who met during a bombing raid and parted, then found each other again. It is written by Ann Dowd and stars John Daner and Virginia Gregg in London Interlude, 1940.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing ground. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
...1940, the Battle of Britain. Now a page in history. ...16 years, over 3,000 miles, and another lifetime away from this November day in 1956 at Newark Airport.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brobleski, but flight 613 will be delayed 45 minutes.
But I have a business appointment. It's important.
I'm sorry, Mr. Brobleski.
I figured my time according to your schedule.
These are circumstances beyond our control.
I'm a busy man. My time is valuable.
I'm sorry,
Mrs. Robert Elwood, will you please step to the baggage counter? Mrs. Robert Elwood, will you please step to the baggage counter?
In the 10 years since the end of World War II, Stanislaus Brobleski had made $1 million. Needless to say, this had taken a bit of doing. And his time was indeed valuable. He made three phone calls, bought a newspaper, and settled down on a bench in the airport waiting room. He glanced at the paper, put it down, and opened his briefcase. He was going through a sheaf of notes when he became aware of the voice on the loudspeaker.
Mrs. Robert Elwood, please step to the baggage counter. Mrs. Robert Elwood.
He listened a moment. Then he got up and slowly and carefully looked around the crowded waiting room. When he sat down again, he put his notes away, leaned back in his seat, folded his hands in his lap, and for the first time in a long while indulged himself in a memory. It was a November night in 1940, when time was carefully measured for more precious reasons than a business appointment. He'd been in London exactly 1 hour and 35 minutes, on his first pass in 4 months, 2 weeks, and 6 hours, when the thing started. He cursed his luck, remembered the rules, and checked the nearest air raid shelter. He was following the grim but orderly crowd when he saw her. She was standing apart, her arms straight at her side, staring up into the night sky. She looked awfully young and awfully scared.
Hey! Hey, you! Look! Look, this ain't no time to be stargazing. Come on.
I'm scared.
Sure.
This is the first time I've been caught in one of these things, and I'm scared.
Well, so am I. So is everybody. Don't let it get you down, though. Just get moving.
Where?
To the shelter.
One of those underground places?
Sure.
Oh, no. I couldn't close in like that.
Well, you can't stay here. Come on, come on.
Daisy. Put me down. Put me down.
Just take it easy, honey.
You put me down. This is none of your business. You put me down.
Not much warning this time. We'll have to duck in one of these buildings.
Put me down.
How about this? Mrs. Perkins' bakery.
You put me down.
This must go to the cellar here. Yeah, you sit here. Oh, I guess you don't weigh much more than a full field pack, but then a field pack don't fight back.
They're close, yeah. Aren't they?
Darn right they're close. They're too close. Hey, you. Hey, cut it out. Will you shut up?
Don't you dare shout
just
at me.
Just cut out that stuff.
You can't talk to me like that.
You're an American, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, so am I, and I'm ashamed of you.
You're ashamed of
me? Yeah, sniveling around like that, acting like a dog.
You have no right to
anyway,
talk.
Anyway, how come you're not home in America, tucked away safe in bed?
What business is it of yours?
How come?
Well, I...
How come?
It happens that I'm visiting with an aunt who lives here in England. My parents sent me over to finish my education abroad.
Well, that's real great. You got a lot to learn.
Why, you rude...
You still scared?
I'm furious. What right do you have to... What did you say?
So you're still scared.
Well, I...
It don't hurt to get your back up once in a while. Just keep in mind and remember Stanislaus Robleski told you.
You were just goading me.
Yeah. Now behave yourself.
I'm afraid I was behaving badly. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Okay. Just relax. Hey, wait, listen. You hear that? The Spitfires. Could be my own squadron. And here I sit.
How come you're with the Royal Air Force? How come you're not home in America, tucked away safe in bed? Huh? How come?
You're doing all right, honey. I joined up in Canada.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. When I tell it to my grandchildren, I guess I'll make it sound real noble-like, but actually, I guess it was the excitement that appealed to me. And besides, what was there for me in St. Paul?
St. Paul?
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Minneapolis.
Oh, Twin Cities. What do you know?
We're neighbors.
Oh, honey, it's as far as from here to the moon where Stanislaus Robleski lived. On the wrong side of the tracks in St. Paul to where you live in Minneapolis.
Oh, I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Well, don't matter now, not right at this moment.
Robert wanted to join the RAF, but his parents wouldn't hear of it.
Well, what do you know about that? Who's Robert?
A boy I know back home.
Oh?
It was really because of Robert that my mother and father sent me over here to school.
How come?
Oh, they thought I was becoming too interested in him.
Well, what's wrong with that?
They felt I was too young to think about getting married.
That's when you should have got your back up. Did it work?
What?
Well, sending you away from what's his name?
Oh, I don't know. He seems awfully far away right now.
He is, honey.
It's dark.
Just as well. You're probably a mess from all that crime.
I don't even know what you look like.
Well, I'm a pretty good-looking guy.
By the way, my name is Guinevere Bradley.
Guinevere?
Right out of Tennyson. My mother had pretty romantic notions.
Yeah. Well, I'll just call you Mac.
Mac?
Yeah, you know, when a name gets out of hand, you just say Mac, like, hey, Mac, slip me another bottle of beer.
Oh. Yes, of course. Do you know any of the Gilbert and Sullivan operettas?
You say the craziest thing.
No. I was just remembering. When I was a little girl and afraid of the dark, my father used to recite Gilbert and Sullivan to me. I didn't know what he was saying, but it had a nice jingle.
No, you got the wrong boy, Mac. There's some pretty good limericks going around at the base, but I don't think I could clean them up for you.
Then we'll sing.
Sing?
Yes. That's what people do in time of stress. Like when the ship's going down, you know, they sing.
You're a real screwy dame.
What songs do you know?
You ain't gonna get me to sing.
What songs do you know?
Well, I know, row, row, row your boat. Period.
Well, that'll do.
You're nuts. Look, we're going to sit here in Mrs. Perkins' bakery and act like people without holes in their head until they all clear.
Do you hear them?
Yeah.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat. They aren't very far from here, where they fell, are they?
No, not very. They're far enough. We're still alive.
But maybe... Somebody over there not very far from us isn't alive anymore. Maybe somebody over there just a moment ago was singing a song, but now they're not alive anymore.
Boy, are you a cheerful little chick.
Sorry. It's just... Let's talk about something. Anything.
All right.
What do you want?
What
do you want to do?
Well, I want to make $1 million.
Why?
You see, you're nuts. You're a real screwy dad.
No, no. Really, why?
Well, because I'm not going to be like my old man. He comes over from the old country. That's the big deal. That's all. And then he's satisfied to work along in a crummy little job all of his life, living on the wrong side of St. Paul. And no, not me. I'm going to have me $1 million.
I hope you do.
I'm going to chance it.
What?
My flashlight. I just got to have a look at you. Well, what do you know? You got a dirty face, but it's a pretty one. I'm going to kiss you, Mac. This guy back home you're so nuts about, what's his name?
Robert Elwood III.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. He's loaded, I guess.
What?
He's got a lot of dough.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
That sounds about right. He's a nice guy, huh?
Well, yes.
Mac, I...
Yes?
Well, just nothing, I guess. Well, Mr. Goering's boys are going to be ready for another go-around pretty soon. You got anything else up your sleeve, like we're going to sing or something?
I know a poem.
Oh, great.
It's a love poem, a sonnet.
Romantic?
Yes.
Did your mother write it?
No, Shakespeare wrote it.
I guess I can stand it.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometime declines by chance, or nature's changing course untrimmed.
Take it easy, Mac.
Hey, you! Hey, Mac! Mac, answer me, oh God! Mac, look. What's the idea? You don't answer me.
Well, hi.
You okay, Mac?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
That's good.
Are you all right?
I'm afraid one of Mrs. Perkins' walls dumped over me.
Oh, no.
It's okay now. Let's not blow your stack. Look, can you move over this way? Now, watch it. Watch it. Any little jar is going to start things falling again. Just reach out your arm. Yeah. Yep. That's me under this hunk of rubble.
Oh.
No, you should take it easy. Like if you could maybe dig me out a little so I could get my arms free.
Of course. Here.
Yeah. Now, careful. It ain't going to take much to send Mrs. Perkins ceiling down on us.
Yes, I'm sorry. We've got to get you out of here.
Yeah. Now.
This one.
There. And my arms are out. Maybe I... Oh!
You're hurt.
No, it's okay. It's okay, but look. This beam or whatever it is, can you...
Oh, it won't move.
Yeah, well, hold it a minute. We'll try it again. Okay. Now, I'll try to lift up on the darn thing and you shove, huh? No.
Didn't I feel it move?
No, I don't think so. It's got me pinned tight.
Well, now let's see. Maybe if I could... Here, let's try it again.
Mac.
Yes?
Mac. I want you to take the flashlight.
Find your way out of this room. Get way over there at the far side of the building.
Why should I do that?
I don't want you asking silly questions. Just do what I say.
And leave you here?
Just go on. Just do what I say.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
Look, you, when those bombers come over again, even if they drop their eggs miles from here, the concussion is going to send the ceiling caving in. Now just get out of here.
No.
Get out, will you? Oh, you fool. You stubborn dame.
There must be something we can do.
There's nothing we can do. I'm stuck. Period. Now get out. I don't want you here.
I'm not going. So you'd better think of something. Well?
Do you know the principle of the lever?
No.
Never mind. Feel around in that junk. See if you can find a piece of pipe or a long board you can have.
All right.
Watch it, watch it. There's no need rushing things.
Oh, all right, yes. Here. Will this do?
I see. Yeah. Yeah, it feels about right. Now, look, slip that pipe under the beam.
Like this?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, that's right. Now, it's good. Now, lean your weight on the end. And when I feel the beam lift, I'll try to wiggle my way out. All right?
There. I think I felt it give a little.
Yeah. Now, I'll try to... Ah!
Oh, your leg.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
No. Wait. I think I can...
Oh, hold it. Hold it. They're coming back. Now, listen to me. I want you to get out of here.
No, I won't do it. Now, you save your breath. I think we can make it this time. Now, come on now.
All right.
Now, can you get up? Here. Hang on to me. Hang on to me.
Yeah. You. You're a real stubborn thing.
Now, here, put your arm around my shoulder. We'll make it.
We weren't under that. Oh. Thanks, Mac.
I wish it weren't so dark.
You're a weirdie, but you're a brave dame.
This seems to be a clear spot.
You're a brave dame and a stubborn
here.
One.
You sit down here.
Yeah.
Let me help.
Okay.
You lean on me now.
Yeah. You're a little squirt, aren't you?
Now let me.
All right.
Can you manage?
Yeah.
There. There. Oh. You should have some care.
No, I'm okay.
Don't you think I ought to try to get out and get some help?
No, not with that going on outside. We'll just wait. We'll wait for the all clear. And we'll have our turn.
Your leg. Does it hurt very much?
No. It ain't bad.
Would you be more comfortable if I'd sit down there so you could put your head in my lap?
Yeah. I'd like that. Oh, this is good. This is real good. Mac?
Yes?
You know something? I never figured it was in the cards for me to ever know a dame like you. You got class.
What will happen when they sound the all clear?
Oh, the people will start back about their business. And the crews will start digging out.
But what will happen to you?
Oh, they'll pack me off to the base hospital. Won't be much good in an airplane for a while. But I'll be back up there flying.
Will I see you again?
It's hard telling me.
I've never known anyone like you before.
You can say that again. Mac, you go home. You go back to America, and that guy... What's his name?
Robert Elwood.
Yeah. You go back to Robert Elwood, back home where you belong.
Where's your flashlight?
Over here. There.
Your face is dirty, but you're a pretty good-looking guy. I'm going to kiss you.
Mac.
Yes.
Mac, I... Well,
yes.
No, nothing. I guess you just go home, Mac. You go home where you belong.
All right.
Hey, Mac, you know that poem Shakespeare wrote?
Yes.
That's real pretty. We say it again?
All right. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his old complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometimes declines. My child.
Mr. Robleski glanced at his watch, picked up his briefcase, and walked over to the airport baggage counter. He studied the woman standing there. There was no mistake. He waited until she turned to leave.
Pardon me. But are you Mrs. Robert Elwood?
Yes.
I thought I recognized the name. Well, as I heard the name on the loudspeaker, you see. Well, I believe we met some time ago, that is. My name is Stanley Robleski.
Oh! Why, of course. Well, my goodness.
It was in England during the war.
Yes. Why, yes, of course. Well, my goodness. Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
Well, are you just arriving or just leaving?
No, I'm on my way to a business appointment. My plane's been held up.
Oh, dear. I've just been to visit my son. He's in school in Connecticut.
Oh, you have a son. Well, that's nice.
Oh, I have two sons and a daughter.
Well, what do you know about that? Isn't that fine?
Where's your home now?
I live in California. I'm in the building business.
Flight 613 now boarding at gate 5. Flight 613.
That's my flight.
Gate 5.
Well, I guess I'd better get aboard.
My goodness, it was nice to talk to you.
Yes. Well, you see, I heard that name over the loudspeaker, and I thought I recognized it. It was a long time ago.
Yes.
Flight 613.
It was. It was a long time ago.
Flight 613.
Well, it was nice to see you.
Yes, it was very nice.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Battle of Britain. Now a page in history. A memory.
Romance is produced and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. Today's story, London Interlude, 1940, was written for Romance by Ann Dowd and starred Virginia Gregg and John Daner, with Victor Perrin and Ben Wright. Sound patterns by Tom Henley and Bill James. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance next week at this same time. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.